Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, a quick reminder, don't miss episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance this Sunday at 6 o'clock on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app. If you missed episodes 1 and 2, you can stream them now with at ESPN On Demand and on the ESPN app. Kirk, we'll talk, you and I, we'll talk a little Last Dance a little later. I know that's some that's some good stuff right there. But before we do anything else, we now have the number 19 pick in the draft. The Las Vegas Raiders, here's Roger Goodell. Or actually, you know what? We're still working on that one. That's going to be coming in here in a second.
Yeah, but we Kirk, go back to the 18 pick, though. I like the number 18 pick, right? Had a little Los Angeles flavor there, USC.
There you go, out of USC.
Tackle, yeah, Austin Jackson, man. A great pick for Miami. Tua's blind side. As Austin, a very athletic lineman coming out early. Had to. He's just a gifted player. Everybody knew going into the season he was going to be one of those players that gets drafted. And you know what? I like the decision. I like the decision for Tua. I like the decision by Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, so two picks for Miami, and Raiders have two picks in this round as well. Mm. Both of those picks, the Tua one, I think you had mentioned that the only thing you thought Tua was going to go to Miami either way, but you thought maybe Miami would move up a little bit forward. What's your concern? Just, you know, I was hyping up Tua as in he would be unbelievable for Los Angeles. This is a city that is accustomed to stars. This guy, I think, has star potential. What do you think those concerns from his injuries and what do you have concerns, or that's exactly what Miami should have done, and if the Chargers were in a position to do it, they should have done it as well as their franchise quarterback?
I don't think Miami was going to do it again. All right, the last time that they let an injury scare them, that was the Drew Brees injury.
That's right.
Drew Brees was Saban. A free agent, mm-hmm. and Nick Saban said, "Nah, we're going to go with Dante Culpepper," and that was it. That was the history. That was it. Drew Brees goes into the New Orleans Saints, and you can rewrite him into the Hall of Fame as a New Orleans Saint. And a lot of people don't forget that. And I think the same thing. Tua Tagovailoa is the same thing. Even he had Nick Saban come out. Remember the
I was going to say,
full
Saban.
Circle. Yeah, Saban comes out and said, "Don't do what I did. This kid is 100%. He is fine. He checks all the medicals, everything. Don't pass up on a guy who is going to come in and fit in right away," right? And the way that mm-hmm. Nick Saban runs his program at Alabama, I mean, that's just going to be, I think it's a great fit. For them, I'm a big Tua fan. Loved watching him play. He uplifted his teammates. He played hurt at times, right throughout his career. But
those intangibles,
he just had those intangibles, man. In the NFL, you're going to go out and you got to have that temperament too. You know, and he's a guy that can handle South Beach. Let's just be honest, right? It's not a place for I think the weak. You know what I mean? You got to be a strong minded individual, and I think his background, his parents. Just everything that makes up Tua Tagovailoa, I think, fits in Miami.
I'd be out of the league in 3 months if I was Tua, if I'm in South Beach. Just heads up, Kirk. Just heads up. All right, number 19 pick is the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Roger Goodell.
We thought it would be fitting here at pick 19 as the Las Vegas Raiders welcome their second selection to make a special announcement. As you may know, we are scheduled to host a draft in Vegas this year. And we thank so many for the effort they put forth to prepare that possibility. And we think you deserve another shot. So we're happy here to announce that tonight, the Las Vegas Raiders will host the 2020 NFL Draft. Congratulations to Mark Davis, the Raiders organization, and Raiders Nation. We look forward to being there in Las Vegas, and congratulations. And now, with the 19th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Damon Arnett, defensive back, Ohio State.
All right, that's Commissioner Roger Goodell. So I'm assuming that, Kirk, he's talking about 2021, right?
No, he mentioned it's 2022. They're going to do the draft. So they got it. He's
2 years off.
Yeah, he's 2 years off. But yeah, so the draft will return to Las Vegas in 2022, not 2020.
Got it.
So he got his twos mixed up, man. It was only 1-0 and 3-2s in there. So 2022 again, that the league has now announced that the draft will be coming back to Las Vegas.
Okay, so Henry Ruggs, the third wide receiver, went at number 12 to the Raiders. Number 19, Damon Arnett out of Ohio State, a cornerback. Let's get Mel Kiper's player profile. Okay, that one will be coming. That one will be coming. So Kirk, so you grab somebody at wide receiver, then you grab somebody at corner. You feel positive about the direction that the Raiders are going in. I know their next picks for the Raiders. I want to look here. I got it written down just to make sure. No picks in the second round. Two more coming in round three. And then a pick in round four, a pick in round five. So they have six picks total. They just went through their first two picks.
So they addressed their needs, right? They needed the wide receiver. They got that. Okay, so that's the one. They addressed that need. They needed the need of cornerback. Now, they went and got Arnett. They didn't go Gladney out of TCU. They didn't go Christian Fulton. So to me, sort of a surprise there, but because the last Ohio State cornerback that they took was no longer on the team in Gary and Conley. So that's why I kind of scratched my head just a little bit. But, hey, you put them out there, you let them all play, and you got to think that's the that Ohio State football team, right? Mm-hmm. Look how many guys are being drafted that went to Ohio State, right? You got Okuda, you got Chase Young drafted earlier, and now you got Arnett to the Raiders. I think this is going to be a good pick. I want to see it play out. You know, I'm not always going to say, oh, man, this guy's a great pick. Everybody's going to say great pick. I can go back and look at last year's picks, and people forgot about last year's draft already. They're already moving forward to this year's draft. So, but I think the Raiders, they address their needs, and then they move forward. But I think it's the next pick right now, and I can't wait to hear this Jacksonville Jaguars pick at 20, because this pick right here, we know, should have been the Los Angeles Chargers pick. I mean, sorry, the Los Angeles Rams pick. This should be the Rams pick here at 20. Remember, the Rams did not make the playoffs. They would have been the number 20 pick. So this pick, the Rams are probably watching Jalen Ramsey highlights, because this is the pick that they traded for Jalen Ramsey in this year's draft. So they don't have a first-round pick this year. They don't have one next year for Jalen Ramsey. So can't wait to see what this pick is for the Jacksonville Jaguars, knowing that this player could have been a part of this Rams team.
Yeah, that's Rams, two picks in the second round tomorrow. They'll go 52 and 57. Two picks in the third round, 84 and 104. And then one in the fourth, the sixth, and the seventh. And like you mentioned, for Jalen Ramsey, traded the 2020 and 2021 first-round picks. By the way, that's the fourth consecutive year no first-round selections for the Rams. So just kind of gives a little bit of background there. Let's do this. Let's stay on the Rams as the Jaguars get ready to make their pick. Where are the Rams right now, do you think? I mean, I know we mentioned this. It's not like they were 5-11 last season. They go 9-7. They don't make the playoffs, but the expectations were you're coming off a Super Bowl appearance. We all thought that, okay, it's not even a question that the Rams are going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs. What's going to be most important, you think, for the Rams? Because they have a number of areas that they're probably going to want to fill, whether it's offensive line, running back, they could use a receiver, a linebacker. What is the area that you think is most important for the Rams in tomorrow's picks?
Well, I think the glaring need is right now it has to be at the running back position. You tell me right now, going into a season, that Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson excite you about the Rams running game? It doesn't excite me at all.
Sure.
I think that's a glaring need for them as the running back, and there's going to be some guys available. Right now, there has not been a running back taken in this draft, right? We're all the way through right now, 20th pick right now by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So no running backs taken yet. That's why I think that the Rams are going to address that need. Obviously, they need to address some things along the defensive front as well, because they have some contracts on some guys, right? A'shaun Robinson, also Leonard Floyd. They have not had their physicals taken yet, so I know the Rams still haven't announced those free agent signings yet. So those are some things I'm just kind of watching about with the Rams, especially also look, Corey Littleton, he exits. Who's your middle linebacker next year? You know, are you going to go with the group of guys that you've drafted over the last couple of years, or you want to go with more of a proven guy? So that could be another area for them as well.
All right, the number 20 pick from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's go to Roger Goodell.
in Jordan Love, but where's Jacksonville going?
With the 20th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Clavon Chaisson, linebacker, LSU.
All right, let's play the quick profile on this because I want
he's struggling with these names, brother. Cadell, we gonna get it. He messed up Mariota back in the day. He messed up butchered Tua Tagovailoa earlier. Now you're messing up Clavon Chaisson.
Hey, he gave Vegas the 2020 NFL draft. Let's get Mel Kiper's profile real quick. Go ahead.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
Look at Chaisson, 6'3", 254 pounds, decent arm length. What you like about him is he could be a 4-3 defensive end. You play him on his feet as a 3-4 outside linebacker. Came back from an injury. Once he got back to being on the field from the injury, he put it all together. So here's a guy with incredible talent, closes on the football, closes on the quarterback with a burst of explosiveness unlike I've seen in the recent years. I think the only thing missing was consistency year in and year out coming back from that injury. But talent-wise, he's as good as it gets as a combo defensive end outside linebacker.
Okay, Kirk, when we come back, that could have been the Rams pick, like you mentioned. We'll talk specifically about Chaisson. And then also coming up, the Eagles at 21, the Vikings at 22, and the Patriots at 23. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. We greatly appreciate LAPD's partnership for the NFL draft here. So the number 21 pick goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. But before we get into that, Kirk, so you were waiting to see what happens at number 20, and there's a specific reason why, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars, Jalen Ramsey, and the picks that the Rams gave up to get Jalen Ramsey. What did you think of that pick specifically?
Well, I think, first of all, just think about that pick, right? The Rams were sitting there at 20, and one of their glaring needs is they're going to need some defensive end pass rush. Now, they think that they've addressed that in free agency, yet those picks have not been – or not picks, I'm trying to say – those free agent signings have not been announced yet, right? Because we know that there's still pending physicals, possibly. And that's Leonard Floyd, former first-round pick of the Chicago Bears, who played under Brandon Staley, who was the outside linebackers coach while they were in Chicago together. And you think of A'shaun Robinson, another Alabama kid that was, you know, with the Detroit Lions, but he can come in and play alongside, obviously, Aaron Donald. So now the Clavon Chaisson pick, right, out of LSU, kid who I met a couple times, and look, he was injured. He tore his ACL the first game of the season back in 2018. Basically, they said his ACL healed so fast, he probably could have played at the end of the year.
Jeez.
That's just how freak of a guy this kid is. He walks in and his presence is felt. You're like, okay, they don't make guys like that anymore. Okay, this dude is special. And you saw it in 2019. He wore the number 18. Okay, number 18 is a very regarded number at LSU. Only two players can wear, one on offense, one on defense, and exemplifies a player who their teammates vote for you to wear that.
Wow.
Right? It's a huge honor at LSU. He wore that number because of what he not only went through in the offseason in terms of getting back and being ready, but also being a leader on that team. He would have been a great pick for the Rams, right? Because you could play him as a 4-3 outside guy, same thing as a 3-4 guy, give you some pass rush ability. So when I look at that pick now, forever, he'll be linked. That Clavon Chaisson, however well that he plays, he could have been a Los Angeles Ram and could have definitely give the Rams something that they need from another former Jaguar in Dante Fowler, who let walk in free agency, couldn't pay him, and now Fowler goes to the Atlanta Falcons. So it's just crazy how this thing always comes full circle, right?
Well, I want to get your – I got a question on that front. Before we do, let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles, number 21 pick. Here's Roger Goodell.
With the 21st pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, TCU.
All right, that's another wide receiver. That's four wide receivers now that have gone. So, okay, let's go back to the number 20 pick with the Jags. I always respect franchises that go all in when they feel like they're right there. Right. So yes. That's what the Rams were doing. Right? They went all in, and part of going all in was you traded two first rounders to go get Jalen Ramsey. I know it's easy now to look at it and say, damn, you didn't even make the playoffs and, you know, your roster was stacked. Now you made a lot of different moves. Now you have a lot of different holes. But at the same time, what was your thought? Like when that first went down, did you think it was worth it? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there saying you gave up. You know, those first rounders can be very valuable. You are rolling the dice, but did you think that was the right thing to do at that time?
Well, I think you're getting a shutdown corner. And the way that things are now rolling out in the NFC West, I do have a guy who can try to go out and go man for man. Think about the matchup. You thought it was going to be over. Now they just rekindle, right? DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey. That's going to be fun twice a
year.
That's
right. That's right.
Get that DeAndre Hopkins, you know, obviously gets traded from the Houston Texans. He goes over to the Arizona Cardinals. And now you feel like, okay, I got Jalen Ramsey who's going to match up with him twice a year. That is beautiful. I can't wait. Same thing, DK Metcalf twice a year with the Seattle Seahawks or Ricardo Lockett, Tyler Lockett. You've got Jalen Ramsey that can guard these guys. Okay. And then in San Francisco, they haven't drafted a wide receiver, but I know that they will, and they're number one guy. But Jalen Ramsey seems to be the guy who can guard, you know, George Kittle if needed. So you understand that in this league, it's about matchups. Jalen Ramsey is a matchup, right? He can be on your best guy and can take that guy away. So you got to understand that it costs value. The value is there. And the Rams have done well in terms of picking in those later rounds. They found the Gerald Everett's and the Tyler Higbee's, right? Josh Reynolds is going to be a big star, I think, this year, taking over for Brandon Cooks, who they released and is now with the Houston Texans. So the Rams are just going to lean on the guys who they've drafted, and they hope that their $100 million quarterback, Jared Goff, can definitely lead them this season.
All right, so for the Rams tomorrow, two picks in the second round, two picks in the third round. So very important day for the Los Angeles Rams tomorrow. Just kind of looking at, you know, I would call them local picks, right? I know the Raiders are out in Vegas, but a lot of Raider fans right here
they're
in Los Angeles.
Close enough, man. The 15 freeway is not far away.
By the way, and just the roots of a lot of Raider fans, just, you know, they've been Raider fans here.
Correct.
So Henry Ruggs, the third wide receiver from Alabama, goes to the Raiders at number 12. Damon Arnett, Ohio State cornerback, goes at number 19. And the Chargers, Justin Herbert from Oregon, quarterback, goes at number 6. So those are the local picks so far. Kirk, is there a name out there? You know, ESPN does this, and damn, do they do this thing well. There's so many different things right now that they have best available, right? So you can look at best available player. Are there some surprises to you right now as we sit as we sit 21 picks in, are there some names out there that you're like, wow, I'm shocked that this player is still on the board?
No, not really. I think that we've kind of gotten to that where you knew it was hit or miss, right? They can either go high or they can go really, really low. And that's why we haven't seen anybody saying, wow, this guy's still available. I think this is one of those drafts as well where it's not like the NBA draft, right? You know, the NBA draft, you probably got about 5 or 6 guys, and then the rest of them is just like, all right, who you picking, right? Who can really make an immediate impact? And I think, you know, for right now, this draft is at its point, right? You know, we all did a mock draft, you know, here at 710 ESPN.
I haven't missed one yet.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't missed
20.
One yet.
Yes.
We
did the first 20, though. And I think the consensus between all of us is I think we probably got a majority, if not, I would say 12 to, you know, to 15, I would think in a nice range, because we had those players that we like, okay, these guys, names that we've heard, things that guys who we've heard in circles, we've done our research, these guys are going to be selected. But once you got to about 18, 19, 20, 21, we're in that land where we just have no idea. I can't tell you what this team is supposed to do. What teams are staying pat to their board, like I said before, right? And then tomorrow is just a whole different day, right? Second and third round.
Kirk, I usually go 200 deep on my mock draft, and I just start writing up on the walls. I mean, you should just see my place here, man. I mean, it just doesn't get any more. All right, let's go to the Minnesota Vikings with the number 22 pick. Here's Roger Goodell.
Minnesota touch. The pick is in, and go. Roger Goodell is going full skull with the Vikings fans.
Go. Come on, let's go, Viking fans.
With the 22nd pick in the 2020 draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, LSU.
All right, so Justin Jefferson going to the Minnesota Vikings. Look like we got we have some breaking news here. Do you see the news, Kirk?
Yeah. No, I have not seen it. I'm still on this Justin Jefferson pick right now. I mean, this is huge. Justin Jefferson, because remember they traded away Stephon Diggs, right?
Yep.
And when you trade away Stephon Diggs, you know, what's going to replace him? And then boom, that's what steps right on in. So, you know, that's a good pick for the Minnesota Vikings. As you just said, yes, there is a trade that just happened, right?
And this definitely yes. affects right here in Los Angeles. The New England Patriots trade their number 23 pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. So the Chargers trying to make an imprint into this draft. They'll have two picks. I don't know all the details unless you saw it.
I got it right here. Yeah, the Patriots are trading out of that pick 23. They're going to send it to the Chargers, and now they pick up picks 37 and now 71. So 37 and 71, that's what the Patriots pick up. And we'll see what the Chargers do here at 23.
Yeah, the Chargers had 37, 71, and then after that it's 112, 151, 186, and 220. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, here's the thing, Kirk. Not too many people have the type of resources we have. We got some Rams gear that we're going to give away. So yeah. Listeners out there, just be ready. I won't even let them know, Kirk, what exactly we're going to be giving away. Let's just say we got some Rams gear. So we'll do that coming up next. The Chargers are on the clock. Stay right here. Alan Sewa, Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. You always want some swag.
Big fan. I love swag.
Here's what we got. In celebration of the NFL draft, we're giving away new Rams gear. So with a new Rams hat and a t-shirt right now, this is how we'll do it. Kirk, what number is Jared Goff?
Jared Goff is number 16. He wears it in honor of his boyhood idol quarterback, Joe Montana.
There you go. Even a little story behind it. The 16th caller right now gets a new Rams hat and a brand new part of all their different gear, their logo, a t-shirt as well. Call 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Be the 16th caller, and we got that gear for you. We'll do this tomorrow as well. Purchase your new Rams merchandise at ramsfanshop.com. So ramsfanshop.com. Let's go right back to this. So we announced, Kirk, you mentioned it. There is a trade, and the New England Patriots are moving back. They're grabbing a second rounder from the Chargers and a third rounder from the Chargers. I think you had mentioned that's the 31 and 71 picks.
Correct.
And the Chargers now on the clock. Let's go to I almost said San Diego. I was very close to saying San Diego. Let's go to Roger Goodell, Chargers with the number 23 pick.
The New England Patriots have traded the 23rd pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. With the 23rd pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Kenneth Murray, linebacker, Oklahoma.
Okay, Kenneth Murray, linebacker out of Oklahoma, which means the Chargers take Justin Herbert with the number 6 pick out of Oregon, obviously quarterback. And now Kenneth Murray. Before I get your thoughts on this, Kirk, let's get the player profile from Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
Chiseled is with Kenneth Murray, a 6'2 and a half, 240 pounder, brilliant athlete, 38 vertical, 4.5 speed, can get after the quarterback. He's one of those guys at linebacker. He's kind of a little step slow reacting, not as instinctive as some of the other linebackers we've seen over the last few years have gone high in the draft, but he makes up for it with the ability to close so quickly from a speed, quickness standpoint. As I say, a guy that I think in the NFL these days, you need an every down guy who can be down the field making plays in coverage or going sideline to sideline as a tackler and also get after a quarterback. That's what Kenneth Murray can do.
All right, Kirk, what do you think? 6'3", 241 out of Oklahoma, inside linebacker. What do you think of that pick?
I totally agree with Mel. He was my number two linebacker coming into, and when I say linebacker, he's an inside linebacker, right? There's some guys who are borderline defensive end, but you can put him at the outside linebacker in a 3-4. This guy's an inside linebacker slash outside in a 4-3. He is going to be a star. I love Kenneth Murray. I watched his tape, and number nine just jumps out at you. When you turn on Oklahoma tape on defense, now they, you know, obviously they play in the Big 12 where they don't play a ton of defense, but the defense that they did play, number nine, Kenneth Murray, he just shows up. He shows up from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. He's sideline to sideline. And we always talk about this, Alan. There's a thing that we call the final picture. The final picture is when the camera is on that play when it's just over and everyone's in that final shot. Number nine is always going to be in that final shot. He's always going to be, you know, at the bottom of the pile or the top of the pile, peeling guys off. He's that kind of player. And you love the story. And I think this is a perfect pick for the Chargers. They really felt the same way that I felt about him, because they gave up, you know, a couple picks to go get him back here in the first round. So they feel like they've got their linebacker that they've been trying to get for a long time to go along with those guys up front. We know how well, obviously, we know about Bosa. We know about Ingram. You know, we know about, you know, the guys they've had in square, you know, those guys in the front defensive line. Now they've got a linebacker to go chase and make some plays.
Well, you know, listen, they you can say they crossed off two positions off their list that, you know, they needed. And that, whether you're a Tyrod Taylor fan or not, he's just there for, you know, a certain amount of time. It's not like he's the future of the team. Linebacker was a position that they needed as well. We'll see what they do. From maybe it's receivers, running backs. We'll see what else. I know offensive line is something that they're in need of as well. But are you, if you're the Patriots, you go back to the second and third round, you grab a couple extra picks. Obviously, the Chargers aggressive in coming up. So you're not opposed to what they did and why they did it.
No, not opposed at all. I mean, it's a need for them. They need, that's one of the positions that they've kind of patched together over the last couple of years. I know Denzel Perryman was a guy who they drafted, but you know, he's a guy that's been injured off on. Jatavius Brown has been there. And then last year they brought in Thomas Davis, and Thomas Davis was just a one-year guy to get things going. So I think this is more for the future, and you got to like this pick, though, because he, like you mentioned, Mel said the same thing that I was. He's an every-down player. He's an every-down linebacker. And he won't be taken off the field. So I think he's got some star power in him at that second level. And look, he's going to be the leader. He's going to be one of those captains that when you look around, you know, behind him, think about this. They added Chris Harris Jr. from the Denver Broncos. They've already got Derwin James, Casey Hayward's on the other side. I mean, now you got the back seven, the front four. I mean, this Chargers defense is now coming. And now if they can get the offense, you know, back to where they were a couple of years ago, this is a team, like I mentioned, Raiders, Chargers right there. Who is going to be the team that can compete against the Kansas City Chiefs?
So, Kirk, I'll ask you this. By the way, Saints on the clock. So as soon as that pick comes in, we'll go to it. After the Saints, the Minnesota Vikings, and then the Miami Dolphins again. Kirk, how do you think – there's no way to really answer this, but how do you think the Chargers make up any ground here in L.A.? And what I'm talking about from that perspective is it's a tough spot for them. It really is. You know, we know because you went down. You used to go to school down at San Diego State University. I obviously am from San Diego. It's not the biggest sports market, but there was definitely a big fan base that was there for them. Here in L.A., it's a tough putt. You know, you already have Rams fans. There's definitely Raider fans that are here. And then there's also a ton of transplants. What is the long-term vision, you think, for the Chargers here in L.A.?
Well, I think the long term is that they're trying to gain more and more traction, right? They're trying to get to that point where they're kind of on equal footing with the LA Rams. But for right now, the Rams have already made it to a Super Bowl. They've kind of got some fans and a fan base. That's why I think this is such a huge year for both teams, right? The Rams need to regain what they've, you know, some of the momentum that they had over the last couple seasons that they've gained under Sean McVay. And the Chargers were a playoff team. They beat Lamar Jackson, right, 2 years ago. They got to get back there. So it's really all about winning for the Chargers. These are two names, Kenneth Murray, Justin Herbert. Are they sexy picks? No. But they're guys who are going to be pieces to their team that can help them contribute and start winning. People are going to show up for winners, but we'll see. With this Chargers team, they start winning. That was is something that can definitely turn the corner for them.
You know, it's funny, Kirk. I mean, we're about to go here to the Minnesota Vikings. And I think this goes for like a – this is a longer conversation, a deeper conversation. I think it's not even just winning for the Chargers. You know, I think you would think in most predicaments that just winning is enough. I think here in LA, just because they're so far behind every other franchise, there's got to be some stars too. And I don't think they have those stars right now. At least those, like you mentioned, right? They're not sexy picks, but it doesn't have to be a sexy pick. If it's an effective pick, that's what Anthony Lynn's job is. That's what Tom Telesco, that's what their jobs are. It's not to just bring in star power. But before we go to that, let's see what the Saints are doing with the number 24 pick. Here is the New Orleans Saints.
Goes with the 24th pick in the first round of the 2020 draft.
With the 24th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints select Cesar Ruiz, center, Michigan.
Very emotional, Cesar Ruiz. Maybe you could tell me. He's obviously he's a center out of Michigan. Right. The Saints. What was their deal with Drew Brees? Was that a 2-year deal? 2-year, 50? Is that what they did with Drew?
Yeah. It was one.
I'm trying to just think off the top of my head here.
Wait, so say it again.
The Drew Brees' deal with the Saints, was it 2 years, 50?
No, I think it was 2 years, 50. I think maybe. I know it was just a short-term deal. Yeah, 2 years, 50, I believe. Yeah, but this is a position that they've needed for a while. Remember they traded Max Unger for Jimmy Graham, I think. You know, and then when that trade was kind of done, it was one in which they've been trying to get that position locked up again. The center position is the most important, right, for them. And you know, if they feel like they've got a guy who can definitely for the next, you know, 10 years can help out the transition from one quarterback to the next, because Drew Brees is not playing for 10 more years. So sure, this is a good pick that can allow the next quarterback to step in and have some old eyes, can show him the way in protections and run schemes, and can settle a young quarterback down. Or if they go with Taysom Hill in a couple of years as a starting quarterback, definitely developing that relationship.
All right, the Vikings, the Dolphins, and then the Seattle Seahawks, all coming up next. Stay right here. Kirk Morrison and Alan Sliwa, 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Kirk, we got another trade, my man. We got another trade here. So the San Francisco 49ers are now jumping in at the number 25 spot. So we had the Chargers just a few picks ago grabbing the New England Patriots spot at 23. Now the 49ers jump at number 25. So we'll wait for that pick. Real quick here, Kirk. So now we just talked the NFC West. The next three picks, you got the 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Seahawks. By the way, just a quick reminder, NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. We greatly appreciate LAPD's partnership here on our NFL draft. Before we get into the NFC West, Kirk, we got the pick right now. This is the San Francisco 49ers at number 25.
Let's see where they're going.
Come on.
With another first-round pick.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded the 25th pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the 25th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State.
Daniel Jeremiah.
All right, talk to me, Kirk.
Yeah, Ayuk is a guy who a lot of people talked about. He was going to be a fringe first rounder, second rounder for sure, type wide receiver. But he's a playmaker, big time intangibles, can make some big plays. And remember, this is where the offense of the 49ers, how it really took off when Emmanuel Sanders showed up. He's kind of has those type of capabilities like Emmanuel Sanders, a younger version of him, obviously, but he's got a lot of potential, right? He made some big plays, you know, for Herm Edwards and that Arizona State team. So can he come in and look, he's not being asked to be, you know, the make all for their offense.
Sure.
He's coming in to just to be a piece to play off of the George Kittle, right? To play off of what Deebo Samuel was able to do last year, the first round pick out of South Carolina. So he just got to come in and, you know, be able to use his speed. He's a burner, right? He can get past the over the top of the defense, and he's just a sure-handed playmaker, and he's got some punt return ability as well too. So a lot of things that can go along for the 49ers here, but they gave up a little bit of draft capital, not a ton. I mean, they traded up from their pick. They were already going to pick at 31, and they move up to 25, and then they give up their 117th pick, which is in the fourth round. Same with 176, which is in the fifth round. So they gave up, you know, not a lot, but for them, they definitely got a couple guys today, you know, by trading back, which they just got a pick for. Remember, for when they traded back earlier in the draft. So that's just the way the draft works. You know, trade, you find things, and boom, there you go. You got it.
Well, just to kind of let me try and put it in perspective a little bit, okay? So we talked a little bit about this. How many picks for the Rams in the first round?
Zero.
Okay. Has Seattle selected yet?
No, they're on the clock.
They're coming up. Right? They're coming up. They're after Miami, and then it's Seattle. The 49ers have two picks in the top 25, right?
Correct.
And you correct me if I'm wrong here, but is this sometimes the definition of the rich getting richer? You know, here's a 49ers team that obviously went to the Super Bowl, and they have they have two picks in the first round.
Well, it's about how you build your team. I've always said that Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are always going to be on a two-lane highway, right, going one way, right? Both guys, literally, I mean, honestly, they both started at the same time, right? They're running a race, and they started at the same time, where the 49ers had to go through two just bad years. The first year under Shanahan was just bad, and he said it. We had a bad roster. It was just horrible. And then they went to go get a quarterback. They got it, Jimmy Garoppolo, toward the end of that first year. And they felt that the second year was going to be it. And then Garoppolo got hurt. And 49ers had to go through two bad years. Third year, they pop. They go to the Super Bowl, right? And they just did it off their draft picks. They didn't try to go for the quick fix. Now, some people look at the other way that the Rams did it. And the Rams made a Super Bowl in year two. But you look at where their salary cap is now, what they've had to do, and the talent that they've had to give up. Now going into year four, and you say that, which team do you think is more suited to have a better year? A lot of people would say the 49ers. Not a lot of people are going to say the Rams. So that's what the Rams have to prove, is that the way that they've built this team through the draft now for the last couple of years, and some big splashy trades and some big contracts, they can still win despite probably having made a couple mistakes in there. Whereas the 49ers, they've really done it through the draft. Right. It hasn't been the big time free agents. It hasn't been the big time trades. And so this is where they've really made their work. They've had their work done, is really in the draft.
I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's crazy to say you feel like, okay, one franchise is moving in one direction. The other, it's still a question mark right now. And I don't want to say, you know, when I hate doing this, Kirk, when, by the way, Miami is on the clock. So once that pick comes in, we'll make sure to go to Roger Goodell. But I hate saying that, you know, 9-7 is the worst position to be in. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, where we said this season, seven teams on both the NFC and the AFC are going to make the playoffs. If that was in effect last year, maybe the Rams could have caught lightning in a bottle, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. They had chances and big time games that kind of was going to sway their season one way or the other. They came up on the wrong side of that too many times. But it is kind of interesting when you break it down that way, because sometimes we look at the players. Sometimes, you know, like you just compared the coaches.
Right.
It's also good to compare the GMs. It's John Lynch right now versus Les Snead. Because the way you described some of these picks and how they're growing, how the San Francisco 49ers are growing their team, is a different strategy than how the Rams are.
Totally different. Like, totally, like, night and day different, because you have guys who did it through the draft, and you have guys who did it through, you know, acquiring Ndamukong Suh and trading for, you know,
Jalen Ramsey.
Cooks and Jalen Ramsey, right? Trading for Dante Fowler, you know, going to get the Clay Matthews and Eric Weddles, right? And the Rams brought in a ton of big time players, a ton of big names. Where the 49ers, they just went and got guys off their draft board. Remember, they drafted those three defensive linemen like three straight seasons. They went out and got their quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. Their running backs, I mean, can we even name them? I mean, we can name them, but they weren't like they were high draft picks, right? It was just, you know, they brought in Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida, and the guy who was signed to be the third, fourth stringer special teamer ends up starting for them in the Super Bowl in Raheem Mostert. So just the way that they built their team, you know, with the linebackers, the safeties, they brought in a veteran in Richard Sherman. It's just total opposite than the way that the Rams did it. And I think they're always going to be in this race, right? They're going to be in this race of who can continue to have sustained success. The Rams have won the division twice, right, in three seasons. So that's what they have going for them. And the 49ers have won once. So who's going to get in year four? Who's going to win?
Is it the best division in football? And I know there's, you know, always every year there's a lot of movement. I think a lot of these draft picks, you got to see how kind of the dust settles. But right now, is the NFC West the best division in football?
Yeah, best division in football, hands down. And I don't think anybody's ever even going to double back on that at all. I mean, this is the best division in football. When you look at, I'll just name the quarterbacks: Garoppolo, Goff, Murray, Russell Wilson, who we know is a perennial MVP candidate every single year. And then you add in some more talent each and every year, man. This is special. This is really special. I think that when you just look at just the talent that this division was, remember, it went from being one of the worst divisions years ago to now. I don't think anybody wants to play anybody in this NFC West anymore.
By the way, we didn't talk too much because it happened. I think it happened before I was still on with Mesa in Ireland. We'll just stay within the division for a second. Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, you thought would go earlier, ended up in Arizona. Is that just another freak of nature talent that's walking into the division?
I think so. Yeah, it's you know, when you got to get better, right? But we look at these young quarterbacks too, and you got to surround them with weapons. That's just what it's really all about. We've seen around, you're either going to surround them with weapons or you're going to give them some protection. That's the way it is, and they've invested in that. And no one's talking about just the I think the job that, you know, the Arizona Cardinals did over the last couple seasons. I mean, over the last season, right, from the beginning to the end. I thought they did a terrific job and just getting guys ready, right, and getting their team all the way around. Now, defensively, they struggled a bit, but, you know, they still have some pieces that they can build on. And we talk about today, they drafted Isaiah Simmons. Right. I mean, that's a huge pickup for them. So this is a team that's right back, I think, just in the hunt that you don't want to mess around with, because they can be, you know, one of those teams that can knock you down toward the end of the year.
There's no layups. Let's put it that way. Right. Every division you think like, OK, yep, that team, we're good to go. There's going to be none of that, it sounds like, in the NFC West. So we do have a trade at number 26. The Miami Dolphins traded their pick to the Green Bay Packers. So just a heads up on that front. We'll keep you guys posted who that pick is for the Packers at number 26. Okay, Kirk, so two things that I want to do when we come back. Number one, I want to get your thoughts, and this is more, I know this is what you do, and this is why you're an expert when it comes to the NFL, but it's different in the NBA, and what I'm referring to there is how quick players can come in and really be an asset, right? In the NBA, I don't care how high your draft pick is, he could be a good player when he comes in, but you're probably not going to make the playoffs, or it's going to take a few years when you're behind the pack. So I want you to give your comparison to that as far as what that looks like in the NFL, and specifically these guys that are being selected. So let's do that when we come back. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. Kirk, you got promos all over the station, my man. All right, let's do this. Number 26 pick in the first round of the NFL draft. Here's the Green Bay Packers.
The Miami Dolphins have traded the 26th pick to the Green Bay Packers. With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
All right, Jordan Love, Utah State. Here's Mel Kiper's profile on the fourth quarterback selected in the first round.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
Look at Jordan Love. Going into the year, you knew he'd be up against it. They lost five top receivers at Utah State. They're four top offensive linemen. They're number one running back and had a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator. So you look at what he did 2 years ago. He was outstanding. Smart kid. Deep ball accuracy is excellent. He's got that live arm. Arm strength, his arm count is what gets your attention. He obviously needs some time coming out of Utah State. Hasn't played against elite competition. But when you have the kind of skill set he has, it makes you look like a very intriguing developmental quarterback prospect.
Okay, Seattle is on the clock, but before we figure out, and we'll get you guys right to the pick when it comes in. So, Kirk, there it is. There's the fourth quarterback selected in the first round, and we mentioned it a couple picks ago when we thought Jordan Love will go. You surprised he goes to the Pack at number 26?
A little surprised, but I think the key word there that Mel said, and that's what I think a lot of people have to understand, is that he's a developmental quarterback, meaning that he can be a guy in 3 years, 2 years, whatever it may be, when his opportunity comes around, or he could be a trade piece and whatever. I don't see Aaron Rodgers slowing down at any point. We keep forgetting it's not like they don't have a quarterback already in place with the Green Bay Packers. They have an Aaron Rodgers right now, who is, I believe, 36 years old, I believe he is. I'll double check that. So we're looking at Brady playing until he's 43. We're looking at Drew Brees, who's playing this year. He'll be 42, I believe. So you mean to tell me that Aaron Rodgers can't be in that same caliber of quarterback with his mindset, his arm, and the way that he loves the game? Or could he be going somewhere else in the future? Or do they not want to be left at standing at the altar like they did before when Brett Favre was there and decided to not come back with the Pack, and they made a change, obviously, to Aaron Rodgers? So it's a lot going on to this position. Or it could just be that, hey, they've been trying to draft a guy who to back him up, and just in case if there's an injury and they feel like they have somebody at a rookie rate that can, you know, be the backup. But to me, I don't know. I'm not all the way sold on Jordan Love. So we'll see with this pick, because I don't know when you're going to figure out when do you get the fruits of the labor of this pick.
Well, it's safe to say, Kirk, right? If you're the Green Bay Packers and you've got Aaron Rodgers already, is it safe to say that you're always in a win-now mentality, right?
Always. That's what Green Bay, Wisconsin's all about. Remember, this is a team that played in the NFC Championship game, by the way.
Kirk, to go back to that, you're wasting a first rounder on a quarterback that, first of all, you're not even 100% sold on, right? And Kiper's saying he's definitely it's going to be a project with him. But you're going to waste a first rounder on somebody that probably is not going to play for at least a few years. Is that a smart thing to do, or are you trying to, if you're in win-now mode, there isn't something Aaron Rodgers could have used and the rest of that Packers team could have used to help them tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the position of tight end is something that they've just been looking for a while, right? And I think that, you know, Jimmy Graham not being there this year, they're moving on from him. Could that be a position they could have upgraded at, or did they not see value there? They decided to go with the quarterback, you know, but I felt like there could have been another position for them to really – I mean, like I said, this team played in a conference championship last year. Could have been an extra defensive lineman they could have had, or an extra linebacker. Maybe go grab safety or something like that. So I look at so many other positions that they probably could have upgraded. Heck, they could have got Cam Newton. I mean, there's Jameis Winston. There's guys who will play for 1 year behind Aaron Rodgers. They're not a threat, but like, for 1 year, I'll go sit behind him and, you know, get my stock back up and come back and hit the market next year. So this is a tough one for me.
All right, Seattle, the number 27 pick. Obviously, we're paying close attention to all these division rivals, this one with the Rams. Here is Roger Goodell with the Seattle Seahawks, number 27 pick.
Teams and stadiums, helping those who need it the most in our community. So with the 27th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Jordan Brooks, linebacker, Texas Tech.
All right, that's Jordan Brooks right there. You know, Kirk, we spent a little time on this, and I'll let you kind of give your thoughts on the pick. But as you look at the NFC West, you already said it's this is the best division in the NFL, and you don't think it's – whether you don't think it's close or not, most people would agree with you this is the best division in the NFL. How does it stack right now? Is it still 49ers, Seattle, Rams, Arizona, or it's too early to tell?
I still think 49ers are at the top. Seattle's right there, though, right? I mean, a couple things go the Seattle's way, and they could be, possibly playing in the NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to really say, I think, because I think they're still kind of jumbled in there together. I think the Rams are right at, I would say, three, and then you have Arizona there. But, I mean, very easily, all these teams could be playing in the playoffs. I mean, to be honest...
Think of some of these Rams losses, right? Like some of the Rams, the one in Seattle, right?
Seattle, you can throw in the San Francisco loss. The Pittsburgh loss down where Todd Gurley doesn't touch the ball in the fourth quarter. I mean, there are some losses that could have changed and been in the Rams' fortune, and they could have been in the playoffs. So when I look at next year, with like I mentioned earlier, with the expansion of the playoffs, now seven teams, I could definitely see all four teams in the NFC West in the playoff. It is that serious.
The problem is they're going to beat each other up.
Yeah, they'll beat each other up. You know what I mean? Still be able to make the playoffs. I think that's how good these teams are. I mean, from top to bottom. I mean, when you look at the other divisions in the NFL, I mean, we can make a case that you put the Rams or you put, Seattle, San Francisco, they would win these other divisions as well, right? You know what I mean? Like, I put the Rams.
They're winning the NFC East, right?
They're winning the NFC East. I think that they're winning the NFC North, right? I mean, are the Packers that much better than the Rams? And like, no. So you got to put them in that situation. So that's why I'm looking at now. This is what I think the expansion of the playoffs will do. I look at the conference now as a whole, rather than just looking at divisions, right? Now you look at the whole, like, where do the Rams rank in the conference?
Yes,
not
yes.
Just, oh, where do they rank in the division? Where do they rank in the conference?
It's closer, Kirk, to the NBA format, right? When
yeah,
I'm
very, sure.
Very rarely am I looking at the NBA and seeing where the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Lakers match up in the division. I'm just looking at the Western Conference, right? And that's typically what happens in the NBA. Eight teams go on both sides for the NBA. This is one step closer. And listen, I think, you mentioned this, and it probably has got lost in the shuffle because the last 35, 40 days, however long it's been since everything stopped in the country, and certainly everything is kind of stopped around the world, that's big. This is big time news that another team is going to make the postseason. And I mentioned this. When this was all going down, one of the things I kept mentioning was I was excited for it because I felt like there's nothing better than week 14, 15, 16, and 17 where you almost feel like the playoffs start 3-4 weeks before the postseason even begins because every game is so critical for a number of teams.
Yeah, always. Everything. I mean, now I'm just looking at the late December games now. It's going to be so much fun, right? Now, late December football. Who's going to be the one team that gets the bye? But you got to think every team is now going to be playing an extra home game. So that's going to be fun, too, to see. I mean, people are like, oh, I'd rather have the bye than the extra home game. But no, you want to keep that momentum. So that's going to be fun, man, because now even the teams that I mentioned, that first round bye, I mean, those teams are going to have to play all the way through, I think, to week 17, right? They're not going to stop and say, oh, we've got it wrapped up. No, I think that you got to play all the way. So it's going to make for some interesting matchups come, the final week of the season.
All right, just a quick reminder here. The NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. So we appreciate their partnership. Coming up next, the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. Kirk, as good as the Baltimore Ravens were this past season – obviously, a disappointing loss in the playoffs. What are some of their holes? What do you think they're looking at for this number 28 pick?
Well, obviously, they want to look at more, offensive line. Marshall Yanda, think about it. He retires. The longtime offensive lineman, all pro bowl, offensive lineman guard for the Baltimore Ravens. That's an area of weakness. You can look at the linebacker position. That could be another area as well. And pass rusher. So you've got some things that you've got to work with if you're, you know, right now looking, remember the Michael Brockers trade didn't work out for them out trade, mm-hmm. but the acquisition didn't work out. Michael Brockers ended up returning back to the Rams.
Yep.
With a failed physical from them, they'd sign Derek Wolfe. So, he's a guy that is an outstanding player, formerly of the Denver Broncos, won a Super Bowl with them. So, but you still need some more pieces, right? And if you can add anything more to Lamar Jackson, maybe another threat down the field at wide receiver, right? Some people have talked about Antonio Brown possibly joining them. So there are some things that they can definitely do if you're, you know, the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, Baltimore Ravens pick coming up next. That's number 28. Titans after that. Dolphins following with the number 30th pick. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. This is the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special.
Athlete. He's a dynamic open field tackler. He's a guy, he's a sideline to sideline range guy. He can cover. He's perfect for today's NFL. 230 pounder with his kind of speed and range and competitiveness and desire, and the way he improved from 2018 to 2019 leads you to believe his best football is still to be played.
All right, only four picks left in the first round. How about that, Kirk? 28 yeah. picks in. How many LSU grab?
just four, man.
Just
Joe
four,
Burrow,
huh?
Kalavon, Chaseon, Justin Jefferson.
Are Patrick you kidding
Queen,
me?
I mean, Patrick Queen, and now, I mean, you still got a couple guys who I think Christian Fulton, corner, he can be taken over the next couple picks, and you also mm-hmm. can throw in Grant Delpit, the Jim, I'm sorry, yeah, the Thorpe Award winner for the best defensive secondary player. So, yeah.
Kirk, so as I make these analogies, I mentioned to you a little bit earlier. So in the NBA, it's very common that, you know, you draft some of these young players, but I mean, it takes time for them to develop and and for them to really, really be a key piece on that team. Let me use an example, right? So Zion, I know he's had some injuries, but that was a big pick for the Pelicans. But John Morant went number two. John Morant went number two. He's the best player on Memphis, and they're a playoff team. That doesn't happen too often, right? And I know the leagues are completely different. Out of all these players selected in the first round, is it very, very common that when they come in, I mean, they're immediate impact players? Some of these guys in the NBA, they only play 1 year in college, and then they come in. I know it's different for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different, but not far, right? When you think about, like for me, I'm always one to let me look at the previous year's draft and just think about guys who came in and made an immediate impact. Who mm-hmm. was that guy? Think about it. The Kyler Murray, number one overall pick.
That's right.
Okay, he was a guy that came in and made an immediate impact. Nick, think about Nick Bosa and what he was able to do, the defensive player of the year for rookies, right, mm-hmm. with the 49ers. Immediate impact right away. And then you start to look around at some other players, right, and you know, some guys can come in and make a super-duper impact, but that really more about it is the quarterback position. Right, you have guys who play roles. That's the thing about it. And can you play your role at the highest level? Right, that's what you ask from your rookies. You don't come in asking to have to come in and be the savior, but can you play your role to the best of your abilities? And your role sort of expands. I think I talked about him earlier because I'm a big fan of his. But Deebo Samuel, all right, that's who the 49ers drafted. I thought he was. I forgot that he was a second round pick last year. They got him at pick 36. And I thought he ended up becoming their best offensive weapon outside of George Kittle, because so many people were trying to take Kittle away that Deebo Samuel became.
Gave him opportunity.
Gave him opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely it's you ask those players to come in and can they acclimate quickly? That's what it's all about. In the NBA, it takes some rookies a while, right? I thought Zion was starting to catch a groove right at the right time. John Morant came in right away and you knew that he was going to be special. Like, think about Trae Young. It took him a couple years, and now he's averaging, you know, he's an all-star in average. So it takes some time. Some guys get it right away, but then some guys have to ease their way in, and also they have veterans in front of them too. And when those veterans kind of move to the side and allow those younger players to take over, that definitely helps out a bunch too.
Most of the time in the NBA, you know, if you're a high draft pick, you're going to obviously a bad team. So this is how it works. You're just going to a bad team. So you might get opportunity, but if you're a player that's picked, let's say, mid-first round or late first round, you're behind some vets because you're going to be playing for a team that's obviously in much better of a position to succeed. Okay, we got the number 29 pick in the first round of the draft. Here's the Tennessee Titans and Roger Goodell.
Where are they going with pick 29? Let's go to the commissioner.
With the 29th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Isaiah Wilson, tackle, Georgia.
Okay, so Isaiah Wilson goes to the Tennessee Titans. Here's a quick profile from Mel Kiper Jr.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
Look at Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle, Georgia. With another year with the Bulldogs, we'd have been looking probably the top 15 pick in the 2021 draft. But the fact that he came out this year, maybe he becomes a guy you think, oh, he's a little bit more developmental, but you love the talent at 6'6 and a half, 350 pounds, super long arms, good athlete. Guy was really solid, I thought, in pass protections. Does a great job keeping that massive frame between the defensive end and the quarterback. There's a lot of movement as a run blocker as well. If you look at it as an offensive line coach, there's a lot to work with Isaiah Wilson.
So next three picks, this will be the final three picks of the first round of the NFL draft. So the Miami Dolphins at 30, then the Minnesota Vikings at 31, and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs at 32. What's, Kirk, what's any big surprises here? I mean, just through the first round, is there something that stands out to you? Is there a specific pick you really like, a head scratcher? I mean, what's kind of standing out to you as we wrap up the first round?
I think teams are just getting the best player available, right? The best player on their board, guys who they, probably sought after, right? Because I definitely didn't have Isaiah Wilson right now being picked by the Tennessee Titans, but for them, it fits their system. It fits their scheme. It fits who they want, right? They want big guys who are going to bully you, right? 6'6", 350. Yeah. Think about that the size on him. So that's Mike Vrabel, the coach. He's like, I want big guys who can push men out of the way. And Mike Vrabel's a former player too. So he gets it, right? How do you impose your will? You impose your will by getting guys who can move another grown man out of the way and allow Derrick Henry to run all over him. So yeah, that's the fun part, man. That's where I'm at right now with this draft, is you're seeing guys who are going and being key contributors right away. Like, these guys are less fanfare, right? You start to get into late in the first round, it's less fanfare and it's more about getting the right fit and being able to go in and be, I think, a key contributor right away.
So a couple teams had two picks in the first round. Miami will have three when it's all said and done. Chargers, obviously, two picks in the first round. Raiders with two picks. San Francisco with two picks. Out of those teams that had multiple selections in the first round, who do you think came out with the best talent?
I mean, it's hard to go against Tua, right? And Austin Jackson out of USC, the Miami Dolphins with their two picks, and they got one more coming up right now as they're on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got three of them, and you're talking about guys who I think are cornerstones for the franchise, right? I think we're going to be talking about this 2020 Miami Dolphins draft as getting them into the National Football League forefront. They're now in a division that doesn't have Tom Brady anymore, so the excuses are out of the window, or out the door now. Right, the excuses are now gone. It is about playing right now, right away, and making an immediate impact, because they're in a division that they can win now. They can win that division legitimately. Belichick and Brady are gone. And so that's why I think that this is huge for them. I think the 49ers, they went out and did some good things as well. Obviously, they go defensive line, and they come back, and they get their receiver. The Raiders, that was their need, right? Wide receiver, corner. They did that. So the teams that had the multiple picks so far, they've addressed their needs, right? And I don't think it's a situation where it's like, well, they got that guy. Like, no, they got the guy who they feel best suits what they have going at their organization. So I applaud all of them so far.
So, Kirk, you mentioned Miami has no more excuses, and you could just go to that whole entire division, and they've, right, you know, Buffalo and the Jets, they've definitely have been on the losing end of that division for years. What do you think happens to the Patriots? I've kind of been one to say, you know, as Tom Brady's, you know, obviously the GOAT when it comes to quarterbacks. But I still think that Bill Belichick's Bill Belichick, and Kraft runs things a certain way, and they have, right, so much unbelievable structure. Do you see the Patriots yes, maybe taking a step back, but at the same time, it's still an organization that I feel I would still have confidence in how they run things.
Yeah, I got a confidence in them. I think we just don't have confidence in a guy pulling the trigger right now because it's unproven, right? I mean, it really is. It's unproven. We don't know. Is it going to be Jarrett Stidham? Is it possibly going to be Cam Newton? Who is going to be that guy that when it comes for week one, who's going to be pulling the trigger? Obviously for the New England Patriots, we know they're going to be coached well, right? Guys are going to be in the right positions to make plays. There's going to be a ton of competition throughout, right? You know that all the intangibles will be there within the team. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to, you know, play to their strengths. They're going to have guys in some positions that other teams probably wouldn't have had in, but at the end of the day, it comes down to who was the guy throwing the football, and they don't have a ton of the weapons that they've had in years past. And Gronkowski now is a Buccaneer. You know, Julian Edelman's there by himself, so there's just a lot of chemistry that has to be built.
Okay, so Dolphins are getting ready to make their third pick in the first round. Minnesota after that, Kansas City after that. You know, Kirk, I got to be honest. I think this, just in general, the entire draft, did you feel like there were that many hiccups? Do you feel like, yes, it would have been great if, you know, they were in Vegas and this predicament didn't take place? But under the circumstances, I thought this went pretty damn well.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it went great. I really did. I mean, this is what a draft, you know, really is. I mean, outside of the big spectacle of Las Vegas, it was going to be with the lights and cameras, and that they try to make it into a larger than life sort of event. But at the end of the day, where we're at right now in our country, I think this was perfect, right? This was perfect because everybody can watch it intimately in their own homes. They can watch it, you know, I've been texting back and forth with friends of mine and guys in my group chats, and, you know, we're just discussing picks and things like that. And it's been fun that no one's tipped anything off. We were all getting all the information at the same time. And I think that's what makes for a beautiful draft, right? Is because we're watching it and we're taking it all in real time.
Well, I think what this will do too is, you know, we were talking about, I'll be curious to see how the ratings are for something like this, everybody being home. But it also kind of takes, listen, your knowledge in the NFL is, you know, I'll never have the ability to have your knowledge. I'm more of a casual NFL fan, right?
Right, I get you.
But Kirk, I was ready to go, you know, for this NFL draft. What I'm referring to there is this kind of allowed for a lot more viewers because of the predicament, the situation, not like you wanted under this circumstance, but I think a lot of casual fans were also watching this NFL draft tonight.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, this was the only thing going on. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything bad, but you know, I've had a ton of coronavirus updates, right? And sometimes it can bring you down really quickly. And I think this was like Roger Goodell started off the program by saying it, you know, the draft said, hopefully we give you just a little bit of time, but where you can get away from what's been going on outside our doors, right? Outside and in our communities and in our world, that we just give you just a little bit of a distraction. And so this has been a great distraction for many.
All right. So Kirk, I think, are you leaving us here?
No, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm going to go all the way up. And
oh, you staying? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right, more of the 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special with Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison.
With the 30th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Noah Igbinoghene, defensive back, Auburn.
Okay, somewhat of a surprise here because remember,
all right, Kirk, how do you do on that pronunciation?
Oh, he did a great job. Igbinoghene is a outstanding defensive cornerback for the Auburn Tigers. And remember, I talked about it. It's just about fits, right? And think about this. Byron Jones, okay, he was the cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys. In free agency, he goes over to who? The Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins already have Xavier Howard, I think one of the better cornerbacks in this league that no one really talks about. And now you add in a young whippersnapper, right? You add a little youngster to go in there that not only give you depth, but then also that can probably start him off in the slot a little bit, or it can give you some of those packages where you're playing 4 to 5 defensive backs or corners. So this is a huge pickup for them that they're able to get some value to get another corner. And this is Brian Flores. This is one of the, you know, disciples of of Bill Belichick, and he's having a great draft. Where we're talking about earlier in the program about their two earlier picks in round one, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback, obviously out of Alabama, and then being able to come back and get an offensive tackle to protect him, and Austin Jackson out of USC. And now you get a cornerback late in the draft. I mean, late in the first round. I mean, you would say they've knocked it out of the park with their three first round draft picks.
I was trying to count on these, and don't quote me here. How many picks do you think from the SEC in the first round?
Too many. it's too many, right? It's trust me. I used to play with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I love my people down there in Duval County. And you can always count on the Jaguars drafting out of the SEC. They went and drafted two guys out of the SEC, one out of Florida, and then Kalavon Chaisson out of LSU. So they love the SEC football down there in Jacksonville. So I would say this draft probably dominated by, if there's 32 picks in the first round, which we know, I would say that at least 16, at least half or more, maybe from the SEC.
So I counted 14 on there. So I think 14.
There's your half right there. Yeah, with two picks left.
Exactly. Okay, we actually got number 31 right now. The 31st pick in the 2020 draft, the first round here. Here's the Minnesota Vikings, Roger Goodell.
Are now up with the penultimate pick in the first round. Let's go to Commissioner Goodell.
You got
to
get that horn up. With the 31st pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Jeff Gladney, defensive back, TCU.
All right, so Jeff Gladney goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Now just one pick left. So number 32, the Kansas City Chiefs will be the final pick of the draft. Kirk, just kind of looking here, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but tomorrow is obviously going to be very important for the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. The Chargers, who traded away actually their second and their third round picks for tomorrow. So the Chargers went from having two picks tomorrow to grabbing two picks today. And I don't think they have another pick until the fourth round. So the Chargers.
They traded 31 too. Remember they had 31, 71. They traded both of those.
That's right.
So those go
to the Patriots.
Yeah, they go to the Patriots.
Mm. And then for the Raiders tomorrow, round three, they'll have a number 80 pick and a number 81 pick to go with their two first rounders that they had earlier today as well. So a lot of moving parts. I mean, honestly, a lot of moving parts. And to have the Kansas City Chiefs kind of wrap this one up after the Super Bowl season that they had, what do you think is an area for the Chiefs that that they'll try to focus in on?
Yeah, so I'm mistaken. I had them mixed up with the 49ers, who were picking 31. Then they traded up to 23 to get their guy out of Arizona State. But this was the Chargers you mentioned. They traded, like you mentioned, those picks for tomorrow. So they're just chilling. They're kicking their feet up. They've got their Isaiah Simmons. They've got their quarterback, Justin Herbert. So they're good. When I look at Patrick Mahomes and his team, they're already going to return right now. If the roster is set when it's going to show up next year, they return 20 of 22 starters. Okay. Sammy Watkins comes back. Obviously, Tyreek Hill comes back. Travis Kelce. The running back situation, then this is the pick that I think if there's one area that they can probably improve in, is that's the running back spot. There was no guy that was there to lean on. Remember, it used to be Kareem Hunt. Remember, he got in a little bit of trouble. He is now with the Cleveland Browns. And so it was Damian Williams this year, but it was a lot of Shady McCoy, who played under Andy Reid before. So you had that. I think this is a position where, you know, obviously they can get a little competition in the running back room, because I think everywhere else they're set. I mean, you look at the cornerbacks, they're set. You look at the safety, they possibly can go out and get a safety. Maybe Grant Delpit. I mean, could Grant Delpit be their Eric Berry, right? You know, could that be the situation? Because to see Delpit go down all the way to pick 32 if they draft him, this could be that's a shocker to me. I thought he was a first-round talent. And you're seeing a guy now have to, you know, wait possibly to the second round. But everything else, I think that they're set, right? You know, they got the guys who they want. Frank Clark, the defensive end, he played well. So to me, if there's one position, I would say running back for the Kansas City Chiefs.
But you know what's funny, Kirk, is when you try, I mean, you really had to give it thought. And I know you, I know you had mentioned running back was could be a position they could obviously if you can find a weakness, right? But think about that, because when I threw other teams at you, you weren't hesitating. You were like, yep, they could use this, that. I mean, you could list off 3-4 different positions that were important. They were key for, you know, it could be the Chargers, or we could be talking about the Rams, some of the holes they might have, different teams in the league. For the Chiefs, it doesn't sound like there's that many holes.
Not at all. Not enough holes that you feel like, oh my God, they need to make this a need of theirs. I mean, they could still go on the free agent market and get some draft picks as well. But remember, this is something that Andy Reid, offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, former running back, a lot of people had said this throughout the draft process. If there was a need or if there's something there, who would it be? Because right now, there's been not one running back taken in the first round. We are all the way to pick 32, and there have not been any running backs taken. And so I think that's where you're going to see a lot of them fall off the board, you know, come tomorrow. So the running back position is a devalued market in 2020.
Well, I was going to say, Kirk, so just explain to it, because I think there's a lot of listeners out there that are probably saying to themselves, damn, I mean, it seems like it's such an important position, right? When you have a running back that is a game changer, you know, you can rely on a game-to-game basis. Is it because of the position, or is it because there just wasn't a running back out there that everybody thought was worth a first rounder?
Yeah, I think there was no Ezekiel Elliott in this draft. Ty Gurley, when he came out, there weren't those types of players that you would think. I mean, even you think about it last year, there wasn't a running back taken last year until, was that the Josh Jacobs at pick 24. So this has been a market in which the Raiders drafted Josh Jacobs at pick 24. So this has been a market that running back teams are just no longer just going to, you know, use high draft picks, because you've just seen so much talent, you know, later on in the draft, end of the first round, top of the second round, and just utilize that.
By the way, just in the NFL circle, you could say it better than I would, but was there a ton of people that were just happy for Andy Reid when he got his Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs? Just his kind of his story, how long he's been in the league. Was that one of those where whether you were a Chiefs fan or you weren't, you were just happy to see a head coach that finally got his ring?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. I think a lot of people were happy for him. And you know, me being there and talking with Andy a couple of times throughout the week, it wasn't just him. It was other coaches on his staff that were feeling it. I mean, you talk to his players, and his players kept saying it all week, man, we want to win for Andy. Like, Andy has given us so much respect. He's given us so much leeway, just allowed us to be players and allowed us to just be who we are. And they were a really loose bunch. I mean, he took some guys that, you know, had some off-the-field things going, and you know, he opened his arms up and said, hey, we're all family. And so I think that when you're around that kind of situation where the players are feeding, you know, some of that, you say, you know what? Yeah, we got to win one for Andy. And I think that was one in which the entire community, you know, the entire city of Kansas City, they needed a championship too. So it kind of all just really fell all together.
All right, with the final pick in the first round, here's the Kansas City Chiefs, Roger Goodell with the pick.
And ladies and gentlemen, the pick is in. Where will the champs go? Let's find out now.
You guys aren't super fans for nothing. Let's go. Come on. With the 32nd pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs select Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back, LSU.
Yeah. Yes.
There it is, Kirk.
That is the pick, man. The fifth LSU Tiger to go in the first round.
How about a way to cap it off? The fifth LSU Tiger, 15 SEC players, and then there's your first running back.
And they got Eric Bieniemy reincarnated. They got their offensive coordinator reincarnated, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And this is a guy, like I said, I feel like I'm a little biased because I've been around that LSU program for the last three seasons. Okay. Last three seasons, I've just been around there. And speaking with Coach O and watching these players, and a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and, you know, you see these kids have to wait. You know, he had to wait Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis, you know, last year was Nick Brossette. These guys had to wait. They had to wait their opportunity. And Edwards-Helaire became the go-to guy this year. I used to say it was Hilaire, and it was Elaire. It's pronounced, the H is silent, so it's Edwards Elaire that I learned. So it's just, you know, you saw him this year really take off as an exceptional back, ran between the tackles, ran to the outside, but it was his pass catching ability as well. And in this offense now with Patrick Mahomes, him being another piece, a check down piece, I mean, just you made another offense get more lethal, man. It's crazy.
Kirk, the first round is in the books, my friend.
Yeah, rounds 2 and 3 are tomorrow, man. I will join you tomorrow, Alan. Let's get it, brother. Have a good one.
Look, it's a big day tomorrow for the Rams as well. We already talked about it. Two picks in the second round, 52 and 57. Two picks in the third round, 84 and 104. So when we're doing the show, those picks are going to be going on. So looking forward to that. Kirk, thank you for everything, buddy. Appreciate you being a part of the show.
Sounds good, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right. And a big thank you to LAPD for being a partner of this. We will do this again tomorrow. Tune in at 6 a.m. for Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Of course, Sedano after that. Will Cain, Mason in Ireland. And then we'll continue our 710 ESPN NFL Draft Special. Have a great night.